This is Walt Davis from the Assistant Director, the Director of Help Jesus Ministries out of Caris. And here's Walt Davis.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. I'm privileged to be here this evening to share my testimony of God's grace with you. To begin with, I'd like to have you turn with me to one of Paul's epistles, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. The reason why I'm having you read this verse of scripture with me is because I believe it very succinctly sums up what I have experienced. I was one called by God out of spiritual darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here, but if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, brethren, I'd like to testify tonight that I have experienced that, my wife and I. My testimony begins at the age of 14. I had been born into a professing Christian family. My parents were baptized members of the Southern Baptist Church, but after moving from Texas to Southern California, unfortunately, they stopped attending church. And so as a youngster growing up, I can honestly say that I don't recall ever having gone to Sunday school or church as a family. So as a young teenager, naturally I began to inquire about the great questions of life. Who was God? Why was I here? Who was this man called Jesus? And about that time, I had an aunt living in New Mexico who had joined the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a church with a long name. I also just happened to have about three or four houses down in our neighborhood a very fine family who were also members of the Reorganized Latter-day Saint Church. So due to the influence of my aunt and this family, I began to attend their Sunday school and their church. Within 6 months, I was baptized at the age of 14. I came to accept completely the teaching that this truly was the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, that within the Reorganized Latter-day Saint faith, we truly had on earth a divinely inspired and called prophet, a descendant of Joseph Smith. I accepted the Book of Mormon and the Book of Doctrine and Covenants as being inspired and equal to the Bible as far as inspiration is concerned and as far as there being scripture. So deep was my faith that this was the one true church that I fully was looking forward to becoming a missionary sometime. At the age of 17, I was ordained a deacon in the Aaronic priesthood of this church and devoutly believed that it was, as I've said, the one true church. However, I had an encounter on the street at the age of 17 with a very fine Jehovah's Witness gentleman who shook my faith up sometime. I'll never forget, he challenged me. He says, you know, Walt, if you Latter-day Saints really believe the church is the one true church, then why aren't you people out going from door to door like we Jehovah's Witnesses are? Well, this kind of bothered me because I wouldn't admit it to him, but I knew that we didn't do it. He also challenged me. He was rather knowledgeable. He said, now, your church, unlike the Utah Mormon church, has remained very small. Isn't that true? He says, and it really isn't getting too many members. He says, now we Jehovah's Witnesses are the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth. And this was back in the early 1950s, and at that time it was true. They had experienced a tremendous increase. From, I believe, the year 1942, they had gone from about 60,000 to the year 1954, when I became one, they were up nearly a half a million, which is quite a tremendous growth. I took the Watchtower publication home, and I left it on the bookcase. My mother saw it. She read the book. It was entitled, What Has Religion Done for Mankind? And I'll never forget Mom stating, she says, you know, Walt, if this book is true, she says, then your faith as a Latter-day Saint is false. Well, this really angered me. And the book so impressed Mom that the next time Jehovah's Witnesses came by our house, she readily subscribed to the Watchtower and the Awake magazine. The witness women began to call back, and Mom readily agreed to have a home Bible study with these people. So within a few months, I began to hear daily the so-called new truths, all the new great doctrinal insight that Mom was gaining from her weekly Bible study with these Jehovah's Witness ladies. So this produced quite a conflict between my mother and I. We would argue sometimes for hours, doctrines. I would try to defend the Latter-day Saint teachings, and Mom was becoming increasingly convinced that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society was the sole channel for the flow of God's truth on the earth to men of goodwill in this generation. So I finally agreed one day to have a debate with some of her Jehovah's Witness people, the people she was studying with. Well, needless to say, I, as a young fellow of about 18 in high school, being completely ignorant of the Word of God, knowing some proof texts that Mormons use to try to prove their church, but as far as really knowing the Word of God, and I want to emphasize, brethren, being completely ignorant of God's Word, not being born again, I had never experienced genuine salvation. So I was an unregenerate, unborn-again person attempting to establish the doctrines of a false religion as compared to another false religion, Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, needless to say, the Witnesses at least know their version of the Scriptures very well. And so I felt like I had been through a literal meat grinder 4 or 5 hours later when this so-called debate was over. One thing that I will state that the Witnesses, and I still give them credit for, the Witnesses had shown to me from God's Word, the Bible, that Joseph Smith, when he had claimed to have literally seen God the Father face to face in his first vision, that this was completely unscriptural and contrary to the teachings of God's Word. They showed me, for example, a very plain statement of Jesus himself at John 1:18, where he says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And also over in the book of Colossians, it's Colossians 1:15, again, speaking of Jesus, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So this was enough to prove to me that God the Father truly was a spirit. He did not have a flesh and bone body. He wasn't an exalted, glorified man. Of course, my church had never taught that, but they had taught that when Joseph Smith saw his first vision in 1824, that he had literally seen God in a visible, tangible form. And so that night, the Witnesses shook my faith in the divine calling of Joseph Smith as a prophet. With my faith in Joseph Smith, who was the very beginning of the Mormon Church, being shaken, naturally it didn't take me too much longer to begin upon thorough scriptural investigation to find that many of their other teachings were not supported by the Bible. So I began at first on my own, and then with some Jehovah's Witness publishers and pioneers, I began to have a very serious study in which I would compare and contrast the teachings of my church with those of Jehovah's Witnesses. And needless to say, I found that Jehovah's Witnesses at least were a more Bible-centered religion than was Mormonism. So finally, I rejected Mormonism. I'm making this sound very simple. It was really a long detail that took about a year. But finally, I was baptized as a Jehovah's Witness on June the 6th, 1954, in Pomona, California. At this time, after studying with the witnesses for at least a year, I had come to accept the teaching that Jehovah's Witnesses truly were the one true religion. And I believed honestly and sincerely with all my heart and soul that Jehovah's Witnesses were just that, that they alone were the true people of the Almighty God Jehovah, and that in order for me to have everlasting life, for me to be spared through the great time of trouble, the great battle of Armageddon that was just ahead of us. Armageddon was just around the corner back in 1954. And I had come to believe sincerely that if I didn't dedicate my life to Jehovah God and become a preacher of his kingdom message, that I would be killed along with the goats, those who rejected the message of Jehovah's Witnesses at Armageddon. So I very joyously entered into the ministry of Jehovah's Witnesses. I gave up all plans of college education. I have very vivid memories of my high school counselor, almost with tears in her eyes, beseeching me to go on, at least to get a few years of college, that even though I didn't want to be a full-time minister of Jehovah's Witnesses, that this couldn't hurt me, could only help me. But as a good young JW, I believe wholeheartedly the Watchtower teaching that we Jehovah's Witness young people were not to go to college, that we were not to seek higher education, which might shake our faith in the truth by being influenced by evolutionary teachings or contact with worldly, sinful people. So upon graduation from high school, my one goal in life had become that of becoming a pioneer. A pioneer among Jehovah's Witnesses is one who put in 100 hours a month, going from door to door, standing on the street corners, offering the Watchtower and the Awake, making back calls on people who accepted literature from us, seeking to conduct home Bible studies, seeking in every way to indoctrinate these people in the Jehovah's Witness religion, sincerely and honestly believing that it alone was the one true religion. I attended 5 meetings a week. Jehovah's Witnesses believe it is necessary for your salvation that you take in knowledge of Jehovah God, that you attend the meetings of Jehovah's people, that you dedicate your life to Jehovah, that you symbolize that dedication through water baptism, and that you be a faithful kingdom preacher. In fact, a recent issue of the Watchtower magazine contained this statement. It said, only preachers of Jehovah's kingdom will survive Armageddon. And it also stated that salvation requires hard work. So the emphasis in our plan of salvation as a Jehovah's Witness was, yes, faith is an essential requirement, but it was works. You earned your salvation. You gained everlasting life through maintaining a faithful course of integrity to Almighty God and vindicating his name by your good works. And the emphasis was on works. You literally were working your way into God's approval. You earned everlasting life through being obedient to the requirements of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Jehovah's Witnesses are taught that the Watchtower Society is the faithful and wise servant of Matthew 25. The term they use today is the faithful and discreet slave class. And they literally believe that there are 18 men who make up the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses back in Brooklyn, New York, at the Bethel, the world headquarters. And they literally believe that inspiration and understanding of God's word comes only to this little group of 18 men, their governing body, whom they deem the chief part of the faithful and discreet slave class. And that the only way that you and I out in the world, the only way that we can gain truth and understanding and light on God's holy word is by associating with the organization that has at its head this faithful and discreet slave class, this group of men who alone are anointed with the Holy Spirit and who alone Jehovah gives the truth to. So if you're not associated with this organization, which back in the days when I was in it, we used to call it the New World Society of Jehovah's Witnesses. Now they call it the New Order. They're looking forward not to a new world, but to a new order, a new divine arrangement of things. Needless to say, the doctrines and the teachings and the association with the witnesses had a very dramatic, a very powerful impact upon my life as a young fellow. So much so that I finally qualified to be a public speaker, a public representative of the Watchtower Society, and I began to give our discourses in our local Kingdom Hall there in the San Bernardino Valley. I attended 5 meetings a week. I was faithful in my door-to-door witness work. I would spend at least 2 to 4 hours a week standing on the street corners. And finally, the great day arrived when I had proven myself worthy to be called to the pioneer ranks. And this to me was a very thrilling day. I was thrilled to be at the age of 19 a full-time representative, a pioneer of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And as a pioneer, we worked long hours there in the San Bernardino Valley. We were called in the early part of 1957. A young pioneer companion named Bill Perinick and I were called by the society to go up to central Wyoming and there to take charge of a small witness congregation that had been struggling for some time. We provided leadership. We were putting in 4 and sometimes 5 days a week in long, grueling hours. We put in sometimes 10, 12, 15 hours a day, driving from one ranch, from one farm to another. It was difficult work because these Wyoming farmers, they did not readily take to the Jehovah's Witness teachings. But as a result of our persistence and our labors, it paid off and we began to strengthen and build up the Lander-Riverton Congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses. It was about this time when I accepted responsibility of leadership in the local congregations that I first began to have some doubts as to the truthfulness of my new religion, Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, of course, I'm having to cut this testimony very short. There's a lot that I'm leaving out. But at this time, I had been a witness for about 3.5 years, nearly 4 years. It was after I had accepted a position of leadership, I had become a servant in my local congregation, that I began to see that Jehovah's Witnesses really weren't all that they were publicized to be. The Watchtower Society in its big district assemblies and the pages of the Watchtower magazine, and we at the door would tell people that we, Jehovah's Witnesses, were the only people on the face of the earth that had the fruit of the Spirit, that we alone had peace, love, joy, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, that we alone, of all people, were the New World Society, that we had peaceful homes, united families, that only Jehovah's Witnesses, since they had the true religion, were living Christian lives. And although I couldn't obviously admit this to my other Jehovah's Witness brethren, in my heart I came to the growing realization that we really weren't all that we claim to be. Because I came to see as a servant in the congregation that there was bitterness, there was backbiting, there was hard feeling, there was a lot of family discord. I was amazed to find out how many problems Jehovah's Witness families really had. Many of the children were rebellious. There were divorces. I was amazed at how many times we had to put people on public rebuke for drunkenness or for poor behavior. I was amazed at how many people were being disfellowshipped for immorality, husbands and wives committing adultery and young people committing fornication, because I had been very idealistic when I joined the Watchtower Society. I honestly believe that Jehovah's Witnesses were exactly what they claimed to be, the only true Christians. And it really came as something of a shock to find out that this really wasn't the case. Well, I rationalized it by saying, well, okay, we're really no better nor any worse than any other group of religious people. But this bothered me, because I got to know a lot of my brethren, and I could see that Jehovah's Witnesses did have a lot of problems. But the thing that, praise the Lord, I believe now as I look back, he did have his hand on my life. And it was there in Wyoming for the first time that I really began to meet some real born-again evangelical Christians. Men and women who had enough of the love of God in their hearts. That scripture I read to you in Corinthians. They had come into this vital relationship, this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would testify to me of how they knew they had been born again, how they knew they had been saved. They knew they had passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. And of course, I would argue with them. I'd try to say that it's impossible. You can't know that you're saved. We as Jehovah's Witnesses believe that salvation not only required works in this life, but we believe that it would require an additional our passing, being faithful through a series of tests. One, we not only would have to be tested in this life, we would have to prove faithful through the Battle of Armageddon. We would be tested during the thousand-year reign of the millennium. We would have to survive the test of Satan being loosened for a little season after the millennium. And only after surviving all of these tests, all these crisis experiences, would a Jehovah's Witness be able to say, I know I'm saved. And brethren, aren't you thrilled that you can say that tonight? But on the basis of the Word of God, and on the basis of the Holy Spirit bearing witness in your life, in your heart, because of the Spirit's witness, and because of the teaching of the Word of God, and because of the evidence to others around you, the evidence that your life has been changed, aren't you thrilled that you can make the statement, as I can, that praise God, I know I'm saved, I know I've been born again? Well, this was the message that I began to hear as I started going from door to door. And as I look back, I honestly believe that this was a part of God's plan for my life. Because although I was like an average young JW pioneer, I was cocky, a smart aleck, I thought I knew it all. We were trained in debate, we knew how to argue and win discussions. But you know, you really can't argue with someone's testimony, can you? And that was the thing that really got to me. These beautiful people just pouring their hearts out, many times with tears in their eyes, testifying of the goodness of God, of the grace of God in their life. Now, I'll never forget some of the testimonies, and